In verse 8, it says, O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a favoring God and forgiving God, but you punished them when they went wrong. He did. But then he provided a way to have relationship with him as he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world for the forgiveness of sin and the restoration of the kingdom of God. And we are so grateful. You know, now this ain't political, so don't take it wrong, okay? But, you know, we got people running around now saying, no kings rally. We don't want no kings. Well, I know they have a political meaning within that, but we don't have a king in the United States of America. Never have, never will. We declared our independence from the King of England, if you remember. So we don't have a king. But there's a lot of kings around the world. We just had the King of England visit us now. Can you think about how reconciliation must have taken place from 1776 to 2026? And we welcome one of our former enemies, for lack of a better term, as we fought and we got our freedom from the Kingdom of England. Yeah, and then we welcome them back and we have a banquet. That's the way God's grace is. But think about this. Today, there's 26 monarchies that rule over 43 countries in the world. Now, these rulers do. They include kings, queens, sultans, emperors, and emirs. Some of these kings exercise real power, while others are just a ceremonial function. Anymore, that's what the king in England is. It's more of a ceremonial function. But most of the countries in our world, to the varying degree, are democracies. So in theory, a democratic nation is run by the people themselves through their elected representatives. But when you think about that, who really rules? Well, Psalm 99 proclaims that God reigns. The psalmist says three things about the divine king. First of all, he's a universal king, verses 1 through 3. And one of the paradoxes of Christian truth is that God's everywhere, but he is especially live and lives among his chosen people. The psalmist begins by calling on all the nations to tremble with fear because God is their king. So immediately the focus shifts from all the nations to one nation, Israel. That's where the Lord sets and is enthroned a place of kingdom between the cherubims. And the cherubim are on the Ark of the Holy Covenant. And that Holy Covenant is located in the Holies of Holies in the temple. And it's another way of describing that God's presence is among his people. And then verse 2 expresses the same dual truth. Great is the Lord in Zion. He's exalted all over all the nations. So therefore, everybody should praise God's great and awesome name. Amen. But think about that. He is a just king in verses 4 and 5. A king's responsibility is not only to rule, but to rule justly, and the people's responsibility is to honor and obey their ruler. So when the King of Kings comes to live among the people, what's he do? He brings justice and equity and fairness. Yeah, his people then show these qualities in how they treat each other and the people around them. This displays of the righteous character of God, and that we should leave life that way and lead it all the way, and all the way then we to exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool and love and respect each other. Then I think maybe the third thing is this awesome king of ours. He becomes a personal king. Yeah, a personal king. The God of Israel and the church is listening and speaking to God and for God, and we hear through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible records over 3,000 times that God speaks, and we see three of Israel's leaders who had called on God and heard God call to speak to them. And our personal God is also worthy of praise because he forgives and he judges. Now, there's one great affirmation about God in Psalm 99, one that sort of sums it up, all of God's wonderful attributes, for He is holy. It's a word expressing His complete transcendence, that there is no one, nothing like Him in power and love and justice, compassion and patience and witness and goodness. The only appropriate response of the God of Psalm 99 is this: exalt the Lord. Wow. God, we love You. We thank You for creating this world that we live in. It's a wonderful world, and we're grateful that we're here. But it comes with a lot of challenges. But You come to understand that, and You wanted to communicate with Your creation, because You sent prophets and all that, and what did we do? Well, not we, us, but, you know, they killed them. They didn't pay no attention to them. And then this is Ralphie. I think God said, how am I going to communicate with this stiff bunch? If you remember in the Exodus story, that's what He called them, a stiff-necked bunch. And I'm thinking, maybe He's sitting up there saying, ooh, yeah, I know. I'll become one like them. And then I'll understand, and they will understand me, and we can communicate. But I just don't want to pop in, because I want to come into the world just like My creation brings all the people in the world. I want to come into the world as a baby through the birth canal. But I can't have sin. I can't do that. So how am I going to do that? I'll find a virgin. Oh, Mary, yeah, she's a good virgin. And I'll impregnate her with My Holy Spirit. That way I will be born without sin. Can you imagine? That's pretty cool. And He remained sinless all the way through. And that's where it says in the book of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We always knew God's Word. And God's Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And here we are. That's where God gave me the title to this podcast, The Word is the Way to Life. And that is because Jesus came to show us the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. So that's my little story, I think, of how God came into the world through Jesus Christ. And He has certainly turned the world upside down for the good. And then, you know, and then He took the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary, because they knew that there could not be any forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And that's where all the animal sacrifices and stuff took place. And then when Jesus was on the cross and He said, oh my God, why have Thou forsaken Me? And I often wondered about that, because God could not be in the presence of sin. And then when He looked upon His Son on the cross, He saw all the sins of the world upon His shoulders. Even the thieves, one to the left and one to the right, finally realized the one denied Him and the other one repented and said, oh Lord, remember Me when You come into Your kingdom. And then Jesus gave up the ghost, and the penalty of sin and death was paid by the shed blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then He was buried. And I think the old devil said, hey, that old God, he had a good plan, but I beat him. He's in that grave. He ain't never going to bother nobody anymore. And then voila, 3 days later He was raised from the dead, seen by many, continue to minister and to share the hope that sin and death have been destroyed and Jesus has overcome it. I think all of us always worried about, well, you know, yeah, this is a good place, but I don't want to die. I want to live forever. Well, Jesus provided a way for us to live forever after we go through this thing called life and we get all trained up, and He provided a way then for us to be in heaven with Him. And then I think when He said He promised to come again, I think He said, okay, I need all these people. They're well trained. Boy, did they have a time while they were on earth, because we're going back down, guys, and we're going to set up My kingdom for the millennial rule, 1,000-year rule. Wow. I'm looking forward to that. You can kind of verify some of Ralphie's stuff in the Bible. That's what it says in the little book of Jude, that we're going to return with Him to set up His kingdom. And I think, yeah, it's my way of thinking, and it's my way of maybe simplicity about the gospel. But it is a simple message for simple people if we only accept Christ into our life. Well, that's my thoughts, and I don't know, but I think I'm pretty close, because God rules the world, and God rules the church. In what ways is God ruling over the nations and the church? It's the same God who rules over his people. In what ways are they different? In what ways are they the same? Well, what do you learn from reading the Psalms and you understand all the things? Or for that matter, what do you learn reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Genesis, Jesus is concealed. Revelation, Jesus revealed. And everything in between is a wonderful thing of what happened, what we are like, and what we are going to be like for the love of God that takes away the sins of the world. Well, I hope and pray that you're enjoying this little series. Next week, we're going to do Psalm 100, which will conclude this study. And then we'll continue on, because even though I'm retiring on June the 26th, I've been getting a lot of input from folks that would like to continue to hear this little podcast. So I don't know exactly what subjects we'll tackle, but the Holy Spirit is wonderful and we'll seek His wisdom and grace. But more importantly, try to understand what it means to have a personal relationship with the God who loved you. Have a blessed day. Amen.